Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. We're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Just say today we are starting a brand new series. And the series is called At the Table, At the Table. This is a three-week series and obviously starts today. But I don't know if this has ever happened. We're going to start a series and I'm not going to start it. We're going to have someone else start it for us today. And I talked with this awesome gentleman and he was planning on being here anyways and told him our vision and where we wanted to go. And he said, man, I can tag up with that. And I feel like where I'm at and where I was going to talk about, I was already in that direction. So he's just a part of this today. I'm so happy. But let me tell you about this guy. You know him. You know his family. They've been here a number of times. But Parkway gives to a number of, gives out beyond our walls to a number of different places. And this is one of the places that we give to, and that is a church in Lithuania. Lithuania is a very... it's an area that's not really evangelized, and so it's an area that the church has kind of died out, to be honest with you. And my friend Tony Miller and his family, they've been there for 13 years raising up a church in Lithuania, and I believe that the Lord is going to continue to do a great work through them. And we were supporting them big time for us, before Harvey, and then we hit that thing called Harvey. And it just busted all of our chops. And I called Tony and said, Tony, I don't know how we're going to survive. And so I said, for a few months, we're going to have to hold back our giving. We had been giving for a long time. And he said, I totally understand. Got you, man. And we're good. And so we had promised them a year of giving, and we'd already done that anyways. But we were still in the process of continuing to give them. And so just a few weeks after that, we got a check in the mail from the Church of Lithuania in the Parkway. Is that not the coolest thing ever? And this is not a high-income area. He was telling me this week about the income in that area is just a... area that is struggling financially. And that church, he told them what we were going through, and that church put together like 900 and something euros, which is like $1,200 in US, and sent us, is that unreal? Is that awesome? And if you will remember when we were still in the gym, we had a day or had a moment when they sent us a video message, and then we sent them one back and all that good stuff. But the church in Lithuania blessed us. And that just meant so much to me, that a church that we were sharing with in missions sowed back into Parkway. And but it's our time. It's our time to, we're through with Harvey for the most part. The after effects of that beast is still with us a little bit, but we're moving past. It's time for the church to move past that. And so we want to get back on board with giving. I'll flesh that out, talk to you about it. I've got a fresh vision for our giving into missions, and I'm going to talk to you about that at the end. But today, I am honored to tell you that Tony Miller is with us. He is here in the States for about 6 weeks. He had to leave his family behind. They're ready to see him, and I know he's ready to get back home to Lithuania and bless them. But he's here today, and I'm happy. This is one cool cat. You know, some folks are just cool, good looking and cool. And this guy's got it all. And most of all, he's got anointing on his life, passion for ministry. These folks have sold out to the work in Lithuania. And I honor them to the big time, big time. Tony Miller, come up here. And I want this church to give you a standing applause for somebody that sold everything in their life to go do a work in the kingdom of God. Took his family. I love it. I honor you, dude.
It's so good to be with you today at Parkway Life and with your wonderful pastor and his wonderful wife. We love you guys. We really do appreciate Pastor Keating and Sister Keating. And it's such a privilege to be back here and to see what God has done at Parkway Life. It's amazing. And it's amazing how all things work together for good. And if you put your hand to the grindstone and start working hard, God really does honor that. And it's amazing to see this wonderful auditorium and what God's done. And just want to say how much I love and appreciate you and what you've done over the years for us in Lithuania. Really, we're in Lithuania doing a work for God in a nation that was under Soviet rule for 50 years. The government taught the people that there is no God. And to us in America thinking, well, how can you even believe that? That's because you've been taught that there's a God. And Lithuania wasn't taught that for 50 years. And so today we have been able to establish a church through a lot of hard work, a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of sowing, a lot of seed. And we're seeing God open up a country that was once an atheistic, dead, dried over country. And is it still hard? Sure it is. There's a lot of people that we deal with every day that are very suspicious, that don't believe that God exists, they believe in some kind of power, but they don't believe in the power of God. They believe in destiny, but they don't believe in God. And so how do you start? How do you begin sharing the gospel in a post-Christian society? How do you do that? And all I can say is it just takes a lot of love, and you got to love on people. And I believe this is the church that has a pastor that believes that, and his wife that really believe that love is what changes everything. And we sang about it, we sing about it, we get passionate about it in the song, but love is one of those things that we talk about, and it seems like a simple subject, but it's really not so simple because it requires a lot of our time, our energy. It inconveniences us, and that's where we've been for 13 and a half years in a country that desperately needs love and needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And it works in Lithuania and it works in Lumberton, Texas. And we've got to remember, and we cannot not underestimate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we've been there now for quite a while, and my family is there, and like Pastor Keating said, I'm looking forward to getting home in about a week and a couple days. And I got to watch online our service. We have about 100 people now that attend church and are coming throughout the month, a little more than that probably now. And it's just been exciting to see the progress and to see how God is growing this community from literally just my family, my 6-year-old and 8-year-old son and my wife and I. And today my sons are 22 and 20. And they're serving in the church, and they're reaching their friends and bringing them into the church. And God's doing great things through them as well. And so it's been exciting. And I'm so happy to be able to report to you some of these wonderful things that God has done and continues to do through us in Lithuania. But because of your support, because you were able to allow us to go because of the resources that you sent. I don't think you understand. Sometimes we kind of minimize that and put that down, but there is no way that the gospel can be spread throughout all of the world without America. America is the richest country in the world for a reason. It's so that the gospel can be preached in all of the world. And so because of that, you can put the go in the gospel. You fuel the vehicle for people. You may never go there in person, but you fuel the vehicle for people that have been called to go. And you are a big part of what God is doing in Lithuania. The hope that is being spread throughout that country. So I just wanted to share those words with you. And today I know Pastor Keating asked me to share with you in this new series, The Table, At the Table. And I'm excited about this because I believe that this is where things happen. It happens at the table. It doesn't happen in the rows. And there's good things that happen on Sunday. And I love Sundays. I love the worship experience that we have on Sundays. But there's something even deeper that can happen when we get around the table and we just sit down and we begin to eat with other people in other chairs and other places of that table. And I think we should always remember that there's a place for everyone. You know, sometimes I think as Christians growing up, we think, well, we gotta make sure everything is so perfect and so good. And I know that whenever we invite people to our house, we'll have a little sit-down talk with our boys and the whole family. We'll say, you know, guys, we got to really be on our best behavior when our guests come over, right? Yeah. There's no burping at the table. There's no food fights. We've got to really be at our best. We need to have the right etiquette, right? Let's make sure we use the right fork and everything at the right time. And so why do we do that? Some of you may say, well, you know, why don't we just be real? Well, we are real, and we should be real, but we all care what people think, even if we say we don't. We really do. And that's why you have this beautiful place of worship where people come and they can feel like, man, this is a great place. I feel welcome. I feel it's creative. It's a creative place. Have you ever been to a restaurant where it wasn't very creative? They just brought the food out to you and they didn't have a smile on their face and they just threw it to you like you were they didn't really care. Well, that's not a fun place to be. And if they have that attitude, then the food may not be that great either, because just because of the atmosphere, you're not going to really appreciate the food so much. And I think, but when there is an attitude that you want to help and you want to serve, that's what happens around the table. The table is not just a place where you just get stuffed with food, but it's actually a place where you can eat. But when you get that and you eat, there is a time that you've got to push away from the table, and then you got to start to serve people. And that's so important. That's where around the table is where service takes place. It's where we serve. It's where we entertain people when they come to our home. We serve them. And service is such an important part of being at the table. So we provide opportunities for all kinds of people, not just the churched, the people that know Jesus, but people that may be far, far away and don't look anything like us. There's a place for them too, right here at the table. Because we must never forget where we came from. Because the moment that we forget where we came from and we only invite people that are like us, that have the same background and have this, know this Jesus that we know, will be the moment that we stop growing. It will be the moment that we stop seeing God the way He wants us to see Him. And so I just really believe that it's important that we welcome people to the table, to our table. And every one of us, I believe that every one of us have a table. We have a circle. I like the fact that this is a circular table, because this is a table where everybody can be together. There's no big I's and little U's, but everybody's at the same level. We're all able to discuss and to share. And it's at the table where we say the grace, right? I love it when I'm in Texas, because when I go to the restaurant in Texas, everybody says grace and nobody even thinks a second about it. It's like, wow, that's so cool. In Lithuania, if you said grace, they would be looking at you like you were strange. But everybody prays around the table. And that's what happens at the table. We pray. I'd like to read a verse of scripture from the Bible. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, talking about the church and how the church was growing and how it was thriving. Thousands were being added to the church daily. Such as many as should be saved, the Bible says. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. It doesn't say they just had fellowship. It doesn't just say they said a prayer. It doesn't just say that they ate a little bread and that was good enough. But it says they devoted themselves to that. It was a devotion that they had with that was such a vital part of what they did around the table. And they had this desire to have a deep fellowship with people. Fellowship means that you have to expose yourself so that others can feel welcome around your table. So often I remember feeling, especially early on in my Christian walk, I always felt like I had to kind of stand apart in ministry, and I had to become something that I was. I felt like I was being fake. How many know about those type of churches? That type of ministry where you feel like you have to hide and be a little higher up than everybody else. You couldn't really be in a circle because then you'd have to expose yourself. Well, I've come to realize that my pain is not an accident. The pain and the problems that I face in my life is so that I can sit around a table and I can share my heart and bare my heart to people so that they can know that they are not alone, that they're not in the boat by themselves, but there's somebody sitting at the table across from them that has been in similar pain and similar situations, and they're not perfect, and neither am I. So this becomes so vitally important that we become open and transparent about our life so that people will feel like you truly understand me. And when I realize that, when I come to that understanding about this circle of fellowship and how that we've got to just share our heart with people, it's got to be a transparency. There's got to be this. It just changed the way I looked at ministry, and I changed the way that I realized that people started actually wanting to be around my table. They would start to say, can I come? Can I be a part of what you're a part of? And I'd say, sure, come. Now, in Lithuania, we invite people to church, but we do it a little bit differently because people tend to be very suspicious of what you do and what you're doing there, especially coming from another country. They're like, why are you here? And then we'll tell them why we're here, and they'll say, but why are you really here? You've got another motive. They're very suspicious, but a lot of that was because of the Soviet mentality. And so we had to learn how to kind of control our excitement, but at the same time, we had to be transparent and loving and kind. And when we understood that, we finally were able to start seeing people come to us, and it started to attract people to our church and to what we were doing because they saw that we weren't out to try to get them, but we truly had our motive. There was no strings attached. I think when we bring people to our table, we have to remember that there can't be any strings attached. It's got to be genuine love and passion for people no matter what they say or do. Because remember where you came from. We got to remember that. And as I'm thinking about this circle of fellowship, it's kind of like the Christian circle of fellowship. When I look at the table, that's kind of what I think of. And it's, you know, the message of Jesus is a very simple message, but it's a very profound message at the same time. Because it doesn't just come easily. Things don't just happen if you're not transparent and honest and real about who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. And so I realized that the circle represents, this is what I see it representing. It really represents that scripture where Jesus, he said, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, we can sit around the table and we can love Jesus and we can be lovers of God And we can gather together as just believers. But Jesus said, I didn't come to just help those who are well. I came to help the sick, the sinners. And Jesus is saying, it's time that we help people and we serve around the table. So it was love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wouldn't that be great if all we had to do was just love God? Because, you know, people are our greatest blessing, but they're also our worst nightmare. And sometimes they can really get me going, oh, God, help me. I can smile and put on a big smile, but in down deep, it's like, why, God? Right? And so that's what I've come to realize, that it's not just about loving God. It's loving those people even when they're not very lovable. Loving them at your table. Come on. I mean, I've had people come to my house one time, and it was just blew me away. I'm not going to go into the details. But they were so hard to love. They came to my house, and they told me in Lithuania, they said, we're never coming back to your house again. You don't believe what I believe. I'm like, well, let's talk about it. But they didn't want to talk about it. That was the craziest time I ever had, and they walked out of my house. I don't even know why I said that, but anyway. But we still got to love people. We can't just stop loving people because somebody hurt us in the past. We've got to bring them to the table. We've got to welcome them to my table, to your table, so that life can, so you can begin to share Christ, because that's where ministry takes place. That's where ministry happens, when you provide a place. I was thinking about this. Jesus had a table set for all of his disciples. And while at that table, He, Jesus is God, so he knows all things. He knows what you're thinking before you actually say it, right? He also knows that Judas is going to betray him. And yet, Jesus made room for one that was a betrayer. He made room for one that was not like, that was, he knew was going to betray him and go behind his back and stab him. But you know what? We've got to make room for those people in our life, at our table, that we don't like. We don't know what they're going to actually end up. We're not like Jesus in that sense. But we have to make room for every person, even the ones that we don't necessarily agree with. And so, because we believe, why do we do that? Because we believe that ultimately, Jesus is going to be experienced at our table. Because everything comes back around. I hope and pray that at your table, everything comes back around to Jesus. It all comes back around that he's the hope, he's our life, and he's our strength, and everything revolves around Jesus. So here's the circle. We love God. We love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. He gives it to us. He gives us whatever he gives us. He blesses us. He feeds us with his word. People fed us and helped us to get to where we are. So we go to the table. We eat the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. We eat the bread of life. And once we get full and we have strength, those carbohydrates, some of us like carbs. How many like carbs? I love good bread. We get that bread and those carbs, and then what happens is, then we realize we've had enough, right? So we push away, and we begin to serve the people that are hungry, because we're all hungry. We all need bread. And God's called us to welcome people to our table. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, verse 34 and verse 35. NIV, it says, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. My food, one translation says my meat. The point of this is, and actually the word means satisfaction or strength. My food, God allows me to receive the food so that I can have strength to then do the work. Amen. He gives me the food not so, because if I sit at the table long enough eating enough bread, guess what? I'm going to get fat. So there's two parts to being healthy. Number one, you got to eat well. But number two, you've got to exercise. And the way that we see the work of God completed is when we begin to use the nutrients and the power of God's word so that we can begin to do the work of God. Amen. And the work of God happens around the table when we're serving people and loving people to Jesus. We're praying, we're reading the word of God in fellowship, and that's where everything happens. So we have this strength to go forward and do the work of God. And I love that passage because the next verse goes on. This is Jesus was in the context of this is when he went to the woman at the well. Check this out. He went out of his way, not on his way, but out of his way to a people that were not like him, that would have been considered dogs in that day to the Jews. He went out of his way and he set up a table. Doesn't say a table. But that's what he was doing. He was ministering. He was serving her. Can I get a table? Somebody, sometimes we just need to, you know, the church is the table, folks. The church is the table. We provide the word of God for people to receive him. And so sometimes we just got to get a table. We've got to have a portable table, and we've got to take it to people when we know there's a need. Come on. And we set up the table. It may not be very fancy, but we got a table. Let's get around the table. Let's talk about something. Let's show a little love. This is a table of love where we can love people and where they can find Jesus. It's a place where we can minister and help and serve. Amen. So sometimes we just got to take it, because the Bible says that we are the church, right? And you guys know all about the flood. We just had a flood at our church 3 months ago. So we have a little feeling about flood, know a little something about floods. So we lost our building. But does that stop the church? No, it doesn't stop the church. The church is not the building. The church is the people. And when we get that, we will take the table where people are, and they will see that they are welcome at the table. And so as the table, as we begin to become, carry our portable tables around, people are going to get to know Jesus, and then we can bring them to the fancy table on Sunday where they can experience a lot of people in a big place where they can find and experience Jesus and hopefully discover their purpose and find freedom in their life. But the ultimate goal is to make a difference in the life of other people around that table. It was just a few months ago. We were walking through our city, my wife and I. We just actually were walking back from our church. It was in June, and June the 9th, in fact. We were walking across the bridge across it that separates the church where we were at, the new town, from the old town. So we have this river that runs through the city. And so we walk everywhere in Vilnius. It's kind of it's how we do it, walk, and we ride our scooters everywhere. So we don't really do a lot of, and we ride bikes. And so we were walking across the bridge, and when we were getting across the bridge, we're on the bridge, it's the green bridge, I looked across, and I saw a young lady sitting on top of the ledge of the bridge. And I realized this girl was not very happy. She was sad. She was crying. And I looked at my wife and I said, Shasta, this young lady does not look like she's in very good emotional state right now. We need to go and try to help her. Help her. And so we walked across the street to this girl. Now, Lithuania, what you have to understand is Lithuania has the highest suicide rate in all of Europe and the second highest in all the world. Lithuania has been number one for many years. It's just gone back to number two. And so we deal with people that are suicidal. And as we began to walk across the bridge, we got to this girl, and she's sitting there on the bridge and just very distraught. And my wife begins to tell her, this is not what you want to do with your life. She said, there's people that care about you, and I'm one of them. She began to talk to her and coax her down. And as she got close enough, she was able to reach out and grab her from that bridge. And she began to cry and weep just uncontrollably in her arms. And it was at that moment where I realized that it was just an amazing moment watching this girl who did not know Shasta and I believe didn't know Jesus. And as we began to talk with her, she hadn't been going to any church. And she said, I just lost hope. She said, I don't know. I lost my boyfriend, she said. And she said, I had some abuse in my family from my father. And my wife just began to hold her for about 40 minutes. And after some time, we were standing there, and my wife was looking down below the bridge, and she saw there was a family that was watching all of this happen. And this family just stared and watched. And eventually this family made their way up to the top of the bridge over to where we were. And she began to tell us, she said, I can't believe what you've just done. Because this girl looked as if she was going to jump. And she said, I just can't believe you just helped her. She said, we were standing down there, and she said, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. She said, I'm a licensed psychologist, and I deal with people like this all the time, but I didn't know what to do. I just want to tell somebody today, you are the hope of Jesus. You are the hope of Jesus. You are the bridge for somebody from their pain to God's power. But what I realized is we just brought along our little table. We set up a table, and there that girl could feel the love and the hope that came from somebody that was passing by. Sometimes that's all we have to do is just be there and just ask God to just give us the courage to do whatever it takes to just love on somebody. It doesn't take a whole lot of theology to do that. It doesn't take any theology to do that. Just knowing the fact that Jesus died for your sins and mine, and that he loved you that much that he gave his life for you. And we can be the hope for somebody else. So a table on a bridge was the hope for this girl. And I just want you to know there's a lot of people that are dying, and we should never just accept that. We should become the hope that the world needs. And we've got to create a table somewhere where they can come to that table and experience life and power and joy and peace and the hope that Jesus brings. And that's what I've come to tell you today. We need to welcome people to our table. And if needs be, we need to go to where they are and show them the simple love of Jesus that is so profound that it can change a life that is despondent and lost hope. That girl came to church. We were able not only to bring her to the portable table, but she came to our church the next day, and she began to worship with us in our service. I can't tell you that she gave her life to God and everything is perfect yet, because it's not. And see, that's the kind of pictures we want to happen. We want it to all just happen quickly. But life is a process. And we've got to value the process. And we've got to celebrate the victories and every little step that people make. Because at the table, that's where we do that. We celebrate people. We celebrate people. Can we all stand right now? I wonder if we could just lift our voices and just talk to Jesus for just a moment. Ask him to help us to welcome people to our table. Maybe there's somebody in your life right now that you're thinking about that needs Jesus, and he wants you to become that person that can invite them to the table. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this wonderful life-giving church, for the wonderful pastor and his wife that have given their life to do ministry here in Lumberton, Texas. And I just pray that you would just let something amazing happen through this church, but through individuals as they catch the vision that we give ourselves. We have something to offer people, not because we know everything, because people don't care how much we know, as long as they know how much we care. And I just pray right now, let that fellowship happen around the table. God, let us have passion to love people. Help us today. I just give you all the praise.